Good morning. We're a small crowd. But you know, God knew it was going to be a small crowd today. He knows everything. Wow, the worship. Woo! Good worship. So I dug up an old word from several long time ago that kind of fit where I am. It was easier to do that than it was to rewrite the whole thing. But the word is about what kind of mountain in your life are you facing? What are the challenges right now that you're waiting for answered prayer? And what is God having you to walk through while you're waiting for the answer to the prayer? Because all of us have situations we're going through. Family, friends, or finances, or there's challenges in this life. And God plans it out perfectly for each one of us to get us where He wants to change us. So are you uncertain about what you're having to walk through? Uncertainty is quite a word. None of us like the connotation that we're not in control of absolutely everything in our life. We all like to have the answers for life's challenges. But God, once more, is teaching me in a new trial, something that I never thought I would experience. The final diagnosis that I got this past Friday is that my left kidney is seriously diseased, and so it's in rebellion to my body, so it's fighting me. And even though it was hard to hear that, I'm learning that it's going to be something I have to walk through. Several years ago, some of you weren't here yet, when I was in a head-on accident. And that's one of the things that led to my retirement, was I couldn't sit at the desk anymore at the computer because I would get confused and dizzy. And so I went ahead and turned my business over to my son. And I figured that was God's timing too, because He's in charge. But He always knows my future, just as He knows yours. And He's used these things in my life to humble me. I used to be very self-sufficient, and now I have an inability to do a lot of things that I used to do, forcing me to become more and more dependent on Him. So now I'm coming out of the other side of this new storm. And He's encouraging me as I trust in Him, as I walk through this new situation, as I learn how to take care of myself in this new life. 2 Corinthians 12:7 and 9. Even though I've received wonderful revelations from God, but to keep me from getting puffed up, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from getting proud. Poor Paul. Paul walked through this. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away, and each time He said, "My gracious favor is all you need. My power works best in you in your weakness." So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness, so the power of God may work through me. Since I know it is all for Christ's good, so I am quite content with my weakness and with insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God wants to work in all of us to get our dependence on Him and off of ourselves. Paul was getting protected from becoming conceited because he had such powerful gifts. Paul acknowledges he was given a thorn in his flesh so he could become more powerful in his faith in God and less in his own abilities. He had no choice except to trust. So here's the big question that I've faced, that we all will face. What will God allow in your life to get your attention? What will he allow to bring you to the next level in your personal relationship with him so you become more committed and more powerful for him? He wants not just us, he wants all of us, all of our ability, all of our talent. He wants our lives to be centered on him. And he'll test us to show us what needs to change. And he'll protect us also. I find peace in that, with the idea that he's protecting me as I walk through this trial. First Peter chapter 1, 3 to 9. All honor to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Do you ever think about thanking him that? Sometimes it's just like, wow, what if he hadn't saved me? What would my life have been like? What have you made it to this age? Now we live with that wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. For God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God in his mighty power will protect you until you receive this, because you are trusting him. It will be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. These trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after you're being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So never compromise, never start compromising, and don't ever think that he's not close to you and he won't notice. And never be disappointed about the trials that he's allowed in your life. None of us that have received Jesus Christ are alone. We're always filled with the Spirit of the Holy God. Over all the years that I've walked as a Christian, I have seen too many people walk away. One of them even told me that he wasn't having any fun anymore, and so he wasn't going to follow Jesus anymore. And I was just absolutely shocked. But that's what will happen if you allow the things of this world, the things of this life, to discourage you. It will take your eyes off Jesus and put them on the disappointments. We need to circle keep ourselves in a circle of the people that will encourage us and support us and love us. But by reminding us who we are. Not always the easiest thing to do to remind somebody who they are. But it saves our lives. I was excited last week when we were able to get Warren over. When I first got saved and I was just coming out of the wild, wild world of drugs and alcohol and partying. And I had met Warren, and I just met Jenny. For a while there, I thought he was a ghost. Because no matter where I went or what I did, he would just suddenly appear out of nowhere. And it was easy to know where he was usually because he drove a noisy Volkswagen. And you would hear him if he was in the area. But he would always show up just after a date that I had with Jenny to make sure it was clean. Or if I was having a hard time at work or wherever it was, he always knew just when to show up and talk to me. I found that he was getting ready to leave on an extended trip. He was leaving this past week. And he's 80 years old, and he's going down to explore Australia and New Zealand. And his brother, who was doing the same thing, disappeared in China and has not been found. And I just had a word from God that needed to snag him for one more visit in case we don't get to see him again. But he loves God, and he wants to share God's word to every person in this world. And so he's willing to walk across New Zealand and Australia at 80 years of age to talk about Jesus. Colossians 3 1 to 4. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about the things that are down here on earth, for you have died. When Christ died, in your real life, is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is in you, in your real life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. So we focus on just staying Christ-centered, fellowshipping, encouraging the brothers and sisters that are around us, and showing Christ's love to people that are struggling, we're doing the work of Christ. And we're really blessing him. God has given everyone a gift, some type of an earthly thing, to bless you. It may be a car, it may be a computer, or a boat, or another form of entertainment. But that's not where our minds are to focus. Those are just the blessings he's given us. The thing we're supposed to focus on is the giver of the gift and recognize how much he loves us and how much he's called us to. All parents love to see their children happy and to be close to them. And he does too. And so parents love giving gifts and things and blessing their children because it reveals the love that he has and reveals the love that we have. But of course, everything is to draw us closer to him that he does. All things, the trials we go through, the healings, the hobbies, the jobs, the vehicles, they're just tools that he's given us so we can be witnesses in the world. Everyone in this room is surrounded by people that need Jesus in their life, people that need to be saved. We're all surrounded by them. Whether they're children or friends or neighbors, they need to see his love, and they need to see his love through us. I've had some people recently just mistake my care and concern for them, thinking I was just a generous person, instead of understanding why I'm doing things. And so I'm beginning to think more like Warren. If you do something to help somebody, tell them you're doing it in the name of Jesus instead of just doing it to help them, so that they know that why you're doing things for them. So each day when a trial or a test happens, then we have to make a choice just to thank him. Thank him for the opportunity. Thank you. Thank him that he's going to walk through it with us and that we can trust and depend on him. As believers, we all have the Holy Spirit living in us. That's why we're powerful. We shouldn't have any fear because he's in control. But because that our flesh is still alive, it makes it harder because we have to kill our flesh. We have to speak to our mind and correct our mind and in our thinking. And we can't walk on the fence. We have to make a choice which side of the fence we're going to walk on. We can't walk in the middle. God doesn't respect that. He wants us to be all in. So each day, each trial, we need to ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us, give us wisdom, and show us the direction he has for us. James chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Says when we choose wrong, we choose to be an enemy of God. Can you imagine that? 4 and 5. Don't you realize what friendship with this world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, that if your aim is to enjoy this world, you can't be a friend of God. That's pretty tough. He wants to be the center of attention in our lives. Why does he call us an enemy? It's because we are damaging, weakening our consciences. It makes it easier to choose wrong, as we did before we got saved, and brings us closer to reaping something bad that we will end up sowing. And it'll only bring us sadness and separation from him. Remember, in every single trial we have, the choice to view the situation from our imperfect perspective or from God's perfect perspective. And remember, perfect conditions will never be the source of contentment. He will only be the source of contentment. Just because everything is going good does not mean it will continue to go well, especially if we choose our path instead of His path, and He holds back the blessings. Hebrews chapter 3, 12 to 14. So be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be deceived and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Now, sometimes we start feeling restless in our lives. And sometimes when we're finding ourselves restless, we have to be careful what direction we're choosing to fill that restlessness and make sure it doesn't turn us away from God. Trials, situation with health, they will always create a restlessness for us to choose to trust the Lord. Trials are given to us to learn how to discipline ourselves. And discipline means to instruct, to educate, to teach, to correct, to inform the mind. And a trial isn't to discourage us, it's to encourage us. So every time we face a trial, and that's what I've learned in my life, every time I face a trial or a situation, I turn to God and I just ask Him why. Why this? Why now? Show me the purpose so I can understand it, so I can live with the situation. And He always comes through and answers. There's a devotional. I don't know about you all, but I get all these little devotionals that I read. We all go through distressing times in life. These seasons of sufferings may be brought about by relational difficulties, financial hardships, or other trials. But as God's children, we can take heart knowing that our pain is not wasted. Sometimes our pain is for the eternal benefit of others. God uses it to reveal the genuineness of our faith, so others may see it and be drawn to His Son. By the way that we each respond to adversity, our belief in Jesus becomes visible to those around us. Believers will be encouraged, and seekers will ask questions about our faith. Difficulties can also be the Lord's tool in preventing a problem from happening, such as the unidentified element that kept Paul from becoming prideful. When disobedience threatens our walk with God, He will take whatever steps are needed to draw us back to Him. He may allow needs to be unmet or something cherished to be removed, but His purpose is always that we confess our sins and return to Him. We may not know the reasons for our heartaches, but the wisest choice we can ever make is to trust the Heavenly Father. Remember, the goal of Christianity is to daily advance towards God until we finish the race. Daily finish the race. Look back and pat yourself on the back. You didn't lose your temper. You responded to the person the way that you needed to respond. You dealt with the problem. You blessed somebody that was in trouble. Just all the different ways we could change our days. Remember, the ultimate victory is always connected with God's will being done the way that He desires. And last of all, we must trust in all His ways and not our ways. So, thank you for your words, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.